This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, gorgeous. How are you doing this morning? I hope you're having a wonderful day so far. Welcome to the Dr. Daff Show. I'm your host, Dr. Michelle Daff, and I know it's been a while, but we are continuing our fascinating womanhood book where we discuss how the ideal woman awakens a man's deepest love and tenderness. This book is so powerful for helping you to become a more loving, feminine wife that your husband will adore and appreciate and love on for all the days of your marriage. And this is something that can be very difficult for us as women to admit, that we don't have the loving relationship from our husband that we desire, that our husbands don't treat us like the queens and the partners that we deserve to be treated as. And we sometimes look at other people and think, why is their husband so loving towards them? What is it about them? What is it about their marriage? Why can't I have that? And it could just be the smallest thing, like your husband giving you warm, long hugs, you know, something that just shows his intimate connection with you that you crave and you desire, and you just wish that you had that. And these things come from a deep emotional place for your husband to feel like he has the woman of his dreams, like he has someone he cherishes so much that he would do anything and everything to make you happy. This is a process. It comes from an intentional state of doing things in a certain way. It's not just about lovey-dovey feelings, because lovey-dovey feelings go away with everyone after things become routine and normalized. This comes from constantly impacting him with your love, your presence, your intentional living, the way that you treat him, the way that you position him as your king. And it takes you being educated on how to do that and motivation on how to stay consistent with it so that you don't fall off from where you were. So today in the book, we are discussing how to make your man number one, truly making him first. And for some ladies, this may seem kind of silly, because maybe he isn't number one in your life and you never thought that he should be number one in your life. But as your partner, as your husband, once you marry him, the two become one. You and your husband become one. And in that respect, it means that you're placed in that same position as priority in one another's lives. He comes before everyone. Your children, your parents, your best friend, your brother, your sister. He comes first. The only person he does not come before is God, and God is not a person. So in reality, in terms of actual people, he comes first. So we're going to talk about how to make your husband number one, because when your husband feels like he is number one in your life, he will behave that way, and you'll see the benefits of that in your marriage. So I want you to go ahead and sit back, relax, get something to drink, baby girl, get something to write with, and let's talk about this. A man wants a woman who will place him at the top of her priority list, not second, but first. He wants to be the kingpin around which all other activities of her life revolve. He does not want to be the background music to her other interests and dreams. And this desire is not necessarily a conscious one, but an inner need, which surfaces violently when it's not adequately met. When his wife places other things first, like children, homemaking, or a career. Being placed in this inferior position can cause a man to form bitter resentments towards his wife and even his children. Now, it's not to say that your husband wants you to neglect your children. Okay, he does not want his children to suffer neglect. He knows that you are entitled to other interests and diversions, but he does not want to feel less important. He doesn't want to be regarded as a convenience or as a paycheck or an escort or a social asset, a ticket to security, or even just a sex partner. He would like to feel that you are married for him and not just as a means of fulfilling your needs or your objectives. So she talks in the book about how this concept actually starts in early childhood. You know, when you're a little girl, and not just you, but just little girls in general, we are sometimes programmed by society to have this idealistic view of life, our lives as a mother and as a wife. And we kind of have these daydreams and imaginations about being this beautiful woman and having your beautiful little children and your beautiful little house and just being so happy. But many times there is no man in that equation. It's just you and your children. And then as you get older and you start, you know, developing romantic feelings towards boys and all of that, you start thinking of this Prince Charming who's going to sweep you off your feet and live this happily ever after life with your children and your beautiful house and your beautiful wedding ring and your beautiful wedding gown and just happiness. And that's a beautiful picture. But what happens is that once women oftentimes get those things, once they get married, they get the ring, they get the wedding, they get the house, they get the children, the man then becomes an afterthought. It's like, okay, I got my life, I got my desires, my dreams, my fairy tale. Now you're just an annoyance. You're just an inconvenience. You're just here and you're bothering me. Like, you're messing this up. And it's not a conscious thought oftentimes. It's just sort of like, the man ends up becoming just like a piece of furniture. Like, he's just there, but he's not what your mind is thinking about constantly. You're not thinking about what you used to think about before. You know, when you were dating him, you were thinking about, okay, what am I going to wear? How is he going to look at me? And what are we going to do? Let me research some places for us to go. You're thinking about ways to slip little notes in his briefcase, things to make him, things to cook for him, things to buy him. You're thinking about what's going on at his office and how you can make it better for him. Like, you're considering all aspects of him because you really want him to value you. You want him to think that you're the one. You want him to propose to you. Like, you are actively fighting for a position in his life. But once you get that position, most women start to retract and start to think more about themselves. And, you know, what do I actually like? And my children need these things. And I want this for my children. I want this career. I want to be respected. I want to, you know, have my ambitions taken seriously. And we start to oftentimes push ourselves away from our husbands unintentionally. And that's what she really wants to focus on in this chapter, is the idea that you're no longer placing him of high value in your thoughts and in your decisions. And a lot of times he just becomes a stressor, or, and sometimes it's not that necessarily. Sometimes, you know, as a woman is married, she has other things to focus on. Like, now you actually have a house to take care of. It's different when you're living in your apartment and you're going back and forth to his and he's not spending time there. It's just like, you know, it's almost like you're just playing house, right? It's different when it is your house, when your husband is looking around like, this place is a mess, and your husband needs food to eat and you have to cook it and you have to wash clothes and maintain everything. Like, it is different. And those things can start to really pile up, especially when you have children. And you may just start to feel a lot of pressure as life progresses. You may also have a career that you really value. And when you were dating and all of that, the career was there, but it wasn't something that you were as focused on as a relationship. But once you're married and you're settled in that marriage, you may want to start getting a little bit more advanced in your career, go back to school, and then your husband gets pushed further and further into the background. So she's going to talk about some things that women tend to place ahead of their husbands as priority over their husbands.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
First area is the children. You probably feel a sacred responsibility for your children, an obligation to nurture them in body and spirit, and provide them with every opportunity to grow to their highest potential. This noble feeling of motherly devotion, when moved by a strong feeling of mother love, can cause you to focus on the care and the training of your children, that you automatically place them as a priority. And then she goes on to talk about an example of a woman that she knew named Clara, who was like the perfect mother, and she was patient and loving and kind and used a gentle voice when talking to her children, but was firm. And she was just a model of unselfish devotion. And she admired that. She thought that she was just like the most amazing mother, and she wanted to be like her, until she realized what her problem of devotion had caused. Her husband was so unhappy because he was playing second fiddle to all of this. The lavish parties that she was throwing for her children, the extensive scrapbooking and helping them practice the piano and sitting by them all the time and just being their center. Her husband was a father and the provider, but he was not the king. And even though she really loved her husband and treated him really well, he obviously took second place to his children, and he ended up resenting that. In earlier years, he was a gentle man, but the situation brought out an ugliness in him, in his personality. And it even surprised people who knew him before, because not only did he resent his wife, but he also ended up resenting his children and found it difficult to be a good father. He would leave home for days, and then when he came back, he was really hard to live with. And another aspect of this is that this position of inferiority can cause a man to resent having more children, because subconsciously he may feel like, okay, well, if one child makes me feel like I'm being pushed aside, what is two going to do to me? Three and four, like I'm just going to disappear in this family. And he may not want more children because of that. But like I said before, you know, putting your husband in this place of priority does not mean that you are neglecting your children. It doesn't mean that you're neglecting your duty to be a wonderful mother. You can serve both your husband and your children without a conflict. Your husband does not want you to neglect your children. Okay, this is something that is so important for you to remember. Your husband does not want you to neglect your children. Men actually love when women are good mothers. Like, that is such an attractive feature. It is such a turn on for them when they see that you're a wonderful mother. They love when you show your love and your care and you pour yourself into your children. What they don't want is for you to only be doing that and just see them as, hi, bye, here's your food, good night, here's a kiss, a little 2 minute little, you know, making love session, and that's it. You know, it's like they don't want to feel like they're just there watching the whole show, but they like the show. They want the show. The show is good. They just don't want to be in the audience. They want to be part of the show. So I really want you to understand that, because there are some women, unfortunately, who are so obsessed with their boyfriends and their fiancés and sometimes their husbands, and they do neglect their children because of that. They do place their children on the back burner because of that. They don't want to lose the man, and they're so obsessed with having someone. And that is super toxic. That is very dangerous for your children, and that is not what she is saying. It is really just a matter of learning how to properly balance, how to divide your time, your attention, your heart, your actions, and knowing that your husband is the one who's going to be there when your children aren't there. Your husband is the one that is your partner. Your husband is the one that is your priority to please. So again, you can serve both your husband and your children without conflict. Your husband does not want you to neglect his children. He is no doubt as interested in their care and training as you are, but would like the assurance that your love and devotion to them does not exceed your dedication to him. Don't put the comforts and the whims of your children ahead of your husband's basic need. Children actually feel more secure and more happy when their parents are in love and when their parents are spending time together, and you show your husband that affection and he is showing it back to you when you're talking to him and you're laughing with him and you're playing with him. They love that. It helps them to feel more secure in that home versus you giving all of your undivided attention and time to your children, especially when your husband is around. So let's talk about some ways that we put our children first sometimes. Okay, one of the ways is a place of residence. So we put our children first when there are situations that come up in life, like maybe your husband gets a job somewhere or your husband wants to move to save some money and you don't want to move because your children are comfortable here. Your children have friends here. Your children are in soccer. They're in badminton. They're doing all these different things that are surrounded in your neighborhood and you're comfortable with that and you don't want them to face the pain of having to move and start over. And so because of that, you tell your husband, no, I don't think we should do that. You know, what about the kids? When this is something that needs to be done for the family needs to move in order for your husband to have a job, a stable income that you need. When you do that, you're pampering your children. It's okay for them to experience some adversity. It's good for them. If it helps your husband reduce his adversity because he needs a job, then it's good for your husband. Same thing about buying a house. When you're buying a house, don't just consider your children's comforts and whims ahead of your husband's needs and requests. So if there's a house that you want that your husband cannot afford, but it has a pool that the children want and it's right next door to the YMCA, and he can't afford it, don't push it just because you want your children to have a pool and be close to the YMCA. Or don't ignore a feature that your husband really wants. Like maybe he wants a man cave, or he wants this huge backyard, right? But the house that has a really small backyard and no man cave is in a better location that you think is better for your children, not because it's safer, but because it's right next door to the biggest playground in the neighborhood, right? Things like that. It's like, what about your husband? Shouldn't he be able to have his man cave in his big backyard, even though it's further away from that playground? Of course. So that's what I mean by putting your husband as priority. Don't forego his preferences to honor your children's wishes. Now, if your husband wants to move or wants certain things just because he wants it, but he's neglecting the children's safety or things of that nature, or he wants to move just because, like, there's no reason, he just wants to move, and it's going to affect your children so much, that's different. If it's out of selfishness, that's different. Then that's when you say, no, the children need to finish out their fourth grade year here. We can't move to Washington, right? So that's different. But if he needs to move because of a job and this is all you have as an option, then it is not okay for you to do that. That is you going against him. You're not working together. You're not being cohesive. But again, you do speak up, you do stand up, you do advocate for your children, you're their mother, but we have to think about the whole picture and understand what's actually going on here. Take yourself out of it and figure, why are you doing this? Are you afraid? Are you just trying to protect your children from facing discomfort? What is actually needed in this situation? Another area that we place our children first is our time and our attention. Think about this. Does your husband have to compete with his children for your time and your attention? Are you always attending to them and you don't have a moment to spare? Are your children, you know, loud and running around all the time? And when your husband has something to tell you, you're like, wait, what? Because you're so focused on them, you can't take your eyes off them for a second. Or you can't have them do something while you listen to him. Or you can't say, okay, babe, I will get to you as soon as I put him down or as soon as I take her outside. You know, just letting him know that you want to hear this, you're interested in this, but they're making too much noise right now and you want to give him your undivided attention. Is he always having a fight for attention from you? Are you able to allow your children to play by themselves so that he can spend some time with you? Do you have to always be there? Do you have to sleep next to your child and you can't even get up for a few minutes to make love to him because you have to be there? And if your child doesn't feel your warm body next to them, then they're not going to sleep, right? It's like, okay, at some point, they're going to have to sleep without you and they can afford to sleep without you for some time. Are you rushing back to your child? Maybe, okay, fine. Maybe you'll get up and say, okay, I'm going to go and spend some quality time with you. But I'm rushing back to this child. Even though the child is sleeping, you're rushing back to the child because you want to be with the child. You don't want to be with him. If that's the case, then you're placing your children above your husband. There are some women who have husbands who travel a lot, or maybe your husband's in the military, and they actually find it fortunate that they have that because they get to actually devote quite a bit of time to their children without having to consider their husband. It is very difficult to balance being a wife and a mother. I know a lot of people, especially those who are not married, are very excited about being married and having children, and it is very exciting. However, most people do not know how to balance the two because your husband is going to still expect that same level of attention, of care, of your time that he had before the children. He's still going to want that because that's what he's used to. And you're going to have to learn what it's like to divide your time between the two. Now, the man has to divide his time too, but it's different because children want their mothers. You're the nurturer. You're the one that's really hands-on more so than he is. And so even if he is hands-on, let's just say he's very hands-on too, emotionally, you are tied to those children in a different way because you had them, right? And that emotional connection is what keeps you doing these things. Like, you're thinking about them in a way that's like pulling at your heart. And so even he may be able to just get up and just like leave them, but you can't. You're thinking about them constantly, even if you have left them. That emotional pull is what's taking your mind and your attention away from him, even if you're not even around your children. And that's what we're trying to, you know, balance and manage so that it doesn't overshadow your marriage. And the women who feel fortunate because their husbands leave for periods of time, so they get to like have a real balance. They get to spend a lot of time with their children and their husband comes back and it's like, okay, now I can spend a little bit of time with him and, you know, kind of let the children do their thing. But some women actually struggle with that because when their husband comes, it's like, oh, great, he's home. And there's this irritation, like, you're not welcome here, even though it's his house. It's still like, oh, he's home, he's back. And they sense that. And because they sense that, they don't feel like being there because it's like, okay, maybe I don't belong here. Clearly, she does not want me here. They've gotten so used to their routine without me that I'm just an inconvenience. And that's something we have to really be careful about because you don't want him to feel like he is not important, that he is not number one, that his presence being there is actually more of an irritation than a joy. Another area is your money and things. Do you pamper your children by giving them everything that they want? If you buy things that your husband cannot afford, that the family cannot afford, then you place an added strain on his life. You're placing your children's wants and desires ahead of your husband's health and financial welfare. their wants ahead of his needs. And of course, we have to always think about this, and this is difficult, but we have to think about how much we give, how much we spend, how much we dote on our children that are unnecessary, that can just cause such a financial strain. Whatever you're doing, whether it's buying very expensive clothes or taking them to places and end up spending a lot of money in those places, or you're throwing them lavish parties, whatever it is, of course you want your child to have the best memories, the best time. You want them to have a great life, and that's great. But if it's getting in the way of the finances of the family, you can still let them have a fantastic time while keeping your husband's finances in your mind. And when you do that, he will appreciate it. He will appreciate the fact that you're able to make it happen without getting the family into a hole. And then when you want to do more things, he's more open to it because he knows it's not going to be this big financial strain. This is really hard. It can really, really, really be hard. But it's something that you have to manage. You have to actually be mindful when you're spending. Okay, how much is this really going to cost? How can I make this more affordable for the family? Where can I cut corners here and there? Is this really necessary? Do we have to have this? Will it make that much of a difference? And when you start doing this, God helps you. God will allow things to be on sale and allow you to be able to see things that you didn't see before, find little things that can make it better that you never considered, that are just really expensive, or people can do things and donate. You'll be surprised when you start thinking like this, God will help you and you'll be able to make things happen. And the last area in terms of your children are your children's interests and thoughts. Are you more interested in your children than your husband? Do your children take up the majority of your thinking? When you're thinking about your day, you're thinking about the future, whose future is in your mind? Your children's or your husband's? Whose day, whose problems are in your mind? Your children or your husband's? Do you have any of your husband's thoughts in your mind? You think about his problems, what he's going through at work, what he's going through health-wise. You think about what he may want to do in the future, his goals, his dreams, or your thoughts only on yourself and your children? Have you taken time to comfort him lately over something? Encourage him? Ask him how he's feeling? Ask him, you know, how he slept? Do you have any dreams? Have you taken time to actually really think about his requests? What he wants for dinner? How he may want to spend the evening? If he wants to watch a movie? Are these things important to you? These things and many more things can help him to feel like he's number one in your life. And it's important for you to take the time to really consider, are you doing these things? Because they make all the difference in your marriage. Another area that women tend to make number one over their husbands is the area of homemaking. Okay, a man appreciates having a clean and orderly home, comfortable and homey by a woman's touch. And of course, he would consider it a huge disadvantage if his wife were to fail in homemaking, but he does not want her homemaking to be more important than him. Okay, the house is made to serve the family, not the family to serve the house. So if you're a wonderful homemaker, don't place your goals of perfection over the needs of your family. Make certain that your motives are to comfort them rather than to please yourself or impress other people. There are some women who are obsessed with their house, obsessed with the decor and the vibe, and just like everything that they do is for the house. They're spending tons of money on the house, time organizing, cleaning, fixing, priming, all of that. Their entire mind is consumed with the home. And again, the home is made for the family to bring a cozy, warm environment to the people who live in it. The home should never turn into an idol, something that you are just constantly thinking about and obsessing over, and your husband can't feel comfortable there. Your children can't feel comfortable there because you always want it to be perfectly clean. They can't set a cup down without you picking it up and wiping under it and telling them to use a coaster. Now, yes, you should use a coaster, but if people are constantly stressed that you're going to walk past them while they're drinking and remind them to use a coaster, it's very annoying. It's very annoying. Eventually, you're going to have to do something about it. Okay, if no one's using a coaster and you find yourself always just nagging about using coasters, then maybe put a tablecloth over it. Put a tablecloth over it. They don't have to use a coaster. Or find other solutions. But you don't want your home to turn into this place that is like your personal space versus the place that the family lives. It's everyone's house. It's not just yours. And if your husband feels like he is second fiddle to the home, then he's going to feel it. And if you are constantly spending time decorating and just focused on your house, focused on, you know, just how he lives in the house versus him, the person, he will feel it. He will know. Everyone knows what's important to people. Everyone knows the most important thing to people, whether it's their car or their electronics or their shoes. Like, people know because of how you behave, how you act about those things. Usually you're so protective over them, or you're always talking about it, or you're spending so much time with it. That's how we know what's important to you. So does your husband feel like your home is more important than him? Would you rather spend the day in the garden or spend the day organizing your cabinets or redecorating your wall versus going out to lunch with him? Like, if he says, hey, babe, want to go out to lunch? And you say, oh, I really would, but I have to reorganize the pantry. You know, it's like, okay. Eventually, he's going to stop asking you to go to lunch because you'd rather reorganize the pantry. And you probably would rather reorganize the pantry. That's probably very soothing and exciting for you. But are you placing it over your husband? That is the conversation today. Is that more important than him? Is organizing the pantry, is baking that lemon loaf more important than him? Sure, maybe you want to bake the lemon loaf because you want him to have a delicious, scrumptious lemon loaf for dessert. That's understandable, but is that more important than him? He will be more happy spending time with you, laughing and joking and playing, than eating that lemon loaf. Don't get me wrong. He's going to love the lemon loaf too. But you can make it afterwards, or you can make it the next day. But don't let it interfere with that moment. You know, those moments in marriage are so important. Those interactions, those small interactions that build up memories. If every time he asks you to do something, he is met with a no, that creates a memory. And when that memory sticks, he's going to stop asking. So don't put the house over him. And she gives a really interesting example of a woman who was like so obsessed with her house, and her husband was over it because he realized that she adored the house more than him. So he left. And she talks about how like the trucking company was moving the couch or something and it scraped the floor. And as he closed the door and left, she was on the floor weeping and crying. And you would have thought that she was crying because her husband was leaving. But really what she was crying over was that the floor was scraped. And that just showed how important the house was to her versus him. So although good homemaking is an admirable virtue, it can be overdone. You want to create a home, not a showplace. A man appreciates efforts for his sake, but he does not want homemaking to take priority over him or things that he considers more important. The castle is not more important than the king that dwells in it. Now let's talk a little bit about your appearance. As a feminine woman, your appearance matters most in terms of the way that you show up in the world, exuding your feminine nature. The way that you dress, being clean, having your hair done, your nails done, smelling nice, wearing a little bit of makeup, even if it's just a little bit of lip gloss, you being put together and curated. This is what expresses your feminine nature before anyone even speaks to you. And if you're someone who is single, then of course, being feminine, looking feminine in public is what's going to attract men to you. But when you're married, it's a little bit different. You should still always mind your appearance and look your best. It's important for your husband to still be physically attracted to you. And of course, it's not going to be 24/7. At home, you should be able to kick back and relax and not look like you're going to a formal ball. But you should also consider the fact that there are times when you do need to still look decent at home, put together at home. This can be with like your loungewear, with your lingerie, with just things that you wear casually. They can still look neat, feminine. You can still take time to brush your hair, not spend the entire day wearing a bonnet, not spending the entire day with your hair looking a mess, not spending day after day after day with your hair looking a mess. You know, just making sure that you're minding your appearance. This is part of your feminine nature. It's a beautiful thing. Your husband will appreciate it, and it just helps you to feel more beautiful. However, there are times where women sometimes get a little bit too caught up with looking feminine in terms of spending so much time in the nail shop, doing your eyelashes, getting your eyebrows done, getting your Botox and your fillers and your massages and all the different things that you do for your maintenance. Those things are, you know, they have their place. But when those things start to take up all your time and you're not spending time with your husband, all he knows is that like every time he wants to hang out, you have a facial to go to and you have to go get your toes done. And there's always something else involving your appearance that takes you away from him. Then he will start to resent that. And those things will then pull away from your marriage. And when a woman spends too much time and attention on her appearance, there starts to become a reason to question her motive. Like, who are you doing this for? If this is taking up all of your time, is it really for me? Or are you really trying to impress other people? And he has a right to feel that way if all of your attention is being put into your physical appearance. Another area that sometimes gets overlooked, because we have allegiance and love for these people in our lives as well, is your parents. Yes, your parents. For those of you ladies who are super close to your parents, that's a wonderful thing. And it's a beautiful relationship when you have like your mom who's your best friend or your dad who's your best friend, and you get to spend time with them and you talk to them on the phone. But when it starts to become too much, like you're spending too much time with your parents, or you're spending too many hours on the phone, or you're always texting them, this can pose as a threat to your husband. Because the truth is, once you're married, that tie needs to be cut. There is always going to be a relationship, reverence, love, all of that. But that extra close communication where they're always in your business and you're always talking to them and you're always spending time with them, it feels like you haven't left the nest. It feels like you are still connected with that umbilical cord. That cord needs to be cut. And this is something that can pose a huge threat to your husband if you're not willing to even evaluate whether or not things are appropriate. This is something that actually came up with me at some point in my marriage, because my mom had developed this like routine with us. And even after I left the home as an adult, I still would come home and have dinner with her on Tuesday night and spend all this time. And it was okay. But once I got married, I had to tell my mom, look, these Tuesday night dinners are cool, but I'm married now. So unless we're both coming over for dinner on Tuesday nights, I'm going to have to stop this. Like, this doesn't make sense anymore. And so she understood. I mean, it was hard. Don't get me wrong. It was hard for her to process that. But she had to understand the dynamics had changed. And sometimes this can be difficult if you are, you know, the product of a single parent home, because sometimes single parents don't see things the way that married parents see them, only because they themselves have not been married, or maybe they were married and they've kind of forgotten the things that can impact a marriage. And when you're married, or even if you're in a relationship, there's a different lens that you see things through, because you know what it's like to have to deal with your partner at the end of the day. For example, when you're married, if let's say you have a couple that you're with and you make a comment and you notice that the comment has started to cause a little bit of friction. I remember we were out with some couples recently, and we brought up like the question of how did you meet? And one person started telling the story and they started saying some things that were a little inconsistent. And the man started getting upset. And I could just see like, okay, this is going to start a problem for them in the car, at home. Like, this is not going to end here. I don't want to create any problems for anyone's marriage. Let's just stop this conversation. And I wasn't the only one in the conversation. So other people wanted the question to be answered. They were egging on all of the little bickering that they were doing. But I actually was getting very nervous for the couple because I know that these small things can become a serious issue behind the scenes. Because when you're married, it's always a different ballgame. And so people have to be very careful when they're dealing with married couples in terms of what they talk about, in terms of the kinds of conversations that come up, in terms of making certain comments, just realizing that it goes beyond that conversation. And this comes into play when it comes to parents. There are some men who are very attached to their mothers, and it's really annoying. It starts to become a question of, okay, who is your allegiance to? Like, have you left the nest? Are you still weighing and considering your mother over me? If I have an issue with something, if I need something, who are you going to cater to? Now, again, it's not to say that your parents don't matter, that you should not be putting your love and your care and your attention into them. You absolutely should. But when certain things start to become appropriate, when you're spending every weekend, yes, maybe you're taking the kids to your mom's house every weekend, but then you're there the whole day and your husband's just at home. You know, you have to consider, okay, my husband's at home by himself. I'm with my mom every Saturday. I need to be able to drop the kids off and then go spend time with my husband together. And this is tough, especially if it's your parent who's forcing these interactions more so than you. But those conversations need to be had because they do cause serious conflicts in marriage. So if you're seeking excuses to be with your family, to spend excessive time with them, you know, the love between a parent and a child is a very fine thing. But after marriage, cut the strings and transfer your major attachments to your husband, because if he starts to feel that he's second place to your parents, he may start to resent them. And you don't want that. You want harmony and peace. Another area that women tend to place as number one in their marriage is money and success. Sometimes a man's money and success become more important to the wife than the man himself. There are some women who are hellbent on ensuring that their husbands become multimillionaires or these extremely successful men financially because of what it's going to do for their life, because they want a bigger house, because they want more prestige and they want a nicer car. They want their kids to go to a private school. And these things are great things. But when the man himself does not have that desire and he feels like you are stretching him for your own personal motives, you're stretching him in a way where he's becoming sick, maybe he's actually becoming ill because he's so stressed with these demands that you've placed on him, he will start to resent you and he will see right through you. And sadly, a lot of times these become the men who seek out other women. These become the men who leave their wives out of their will when they die. These are the men who do a lot of sneaky things financially because they see what their wife is doing. And some men are not strong enough to overcome that manipulation. They see what the wife is doing, but they don't have that internal like confidence, and they're not brave enough, maybe because of their own mothers, to be able to just like call it out. So they pretend to play along, and then it just becomes a mess. Like, they become that surgeon or whatever that you've pushed them to be, and then they leave you, right? And get some younger woman and live their life with that person. And it's a very tricky situation. It is a beautiful thing to see your man's potential and to help him to realize it, to help him to maximize it. But it's another thing when he himself does not want to, is not moving, or is killing himself just to make you happy. Because those things really don't matter. At the end of the day, a lot of the things that we think matter actually don't matter. They're not that important in the grand scheme of things. And a man does appreciate your support when he himself does have a personal desire for something and doesn't realize it. But many women make the mistake when they put other things over the most important thing in the world, which is their marriage. I went to Ghana on a trip, and we went to go see a play, and the play is called Dubai or No Sex. And it was a really, really good play. In the play, the woman was with her husband. Her husband was a lawyer. He was an attorney, and they made decent money. But she had this friend who always had like new stuff. She always had like a new car, all these fancy trips. Her husband was also a lawyer. And the two husbands were friends. They're both lawyer friends. And the two girls are friends. And so the whole like point of the play was that she was bragging about all these nice things that she had. She was so bougie. Her and her husband were filthy rich. And so this woman started pressuring her husband to do more, to take on more. And she wanted to like go to Dubai and do all this stuff. And so she stopped having sex with her husband. She stopped making her husband food. She just totally dropped all of her wife duties because she felt like it's not fair that this person gets all these things and I don't get anything from you. So she's like, if you don't take me to Dubai, then you're going to go ahead and sleep in the other room. And the story transpired to where they ended up finding out that this guy was doing a lot of shady stuff in order to get all this money. And he ended up like getting in trouble with the law. They seized all of his assets. They had nothing. And they ended up coming to their house to sleep there. And when they were sleeping there, they found out all this stuff that like the woman's husband was always cheating on her. And that's why she was like pressing him to buy her a new car and buy her this and buy her that, because she found out that he was buying his girlfriends these fancy apartments, taking them on these fancy trips. And so she felt like, okay, well, if I'm going to get cheated on, then you need to at least like give me all the stuff you give your girlfriends. And that was like her rationale. And so when this woman saw all of this stuff that was happening, she felt so bad. Like, I can't believe I was pushing you to do all of these things, take on these shady business deals, do this stuff, not knowing that these people are a fraud, not knowing that, like, I actually have a really good husband, a really kind man, a loving man, and everything you see is not the truth. And so it was a really good play, but this happens all the time. It's hard for us as people to really see that people oftentimes are not showing you the whole thing. It's so easy with social media to just imagine a person's life based on the very little bit that they share, on the curated content that they produce. It is so hard to see. But when you start to be around a lot of these people, you start to see the truth. And it's shocking. It's shocking to know that, you know, people are not really financially where they say they are, or there's certain things that are rented or it's borrowed, or like you just assume things sometimes and you don't know the whole story behind it. You don't know. And when you push your husband to try to keep up with all of the other people, it can bring you misery. And I do know, like, I do understand the desire to want to feel like you are experiencing the best. Why not, right? Especially if you feel like you really are getting less than you deserve. If you see every single woman who has a baby get a push present and you've never gotten a push present, you don't even know what a push present is. When I was pregnant, I was talking to my mom about a push present. She's like, what is that? You know, it's like, we have all these things that we have come up with. And I actually only found out what it was because I had a friend whose mom had a baby and she got a push present. And I was like maybe 21 years old. And I remember asking like, what is a push present? So like, I didn't even find out from social media. I found out through a friend. But, you know, it depends on the circles you're in. It depends on, you know, what your life is like. Is your husband a bad husband because he didn't buy you a push present? No. Of course not. I'm sure if your husband knew that you would like something as a gift for having a baby, he would give you a gift. But does your gift have to be her gift? No. Are you satisfied when your husband buys you a $200 perfume or $200 candle versus a $5,000 diamond ring? Are you satisfied? Or do you say, this person got this, why did I only get a $200 candle? Am I not worth a $5,000 bracelet? Well, does he make the amount of money to buy you a $5,000 bracelet? And even if he does make enough money, is that really important at the end of the day? Is that more important than your genuine gratitude and the life that you live that you already enjoy and is beautiful to you? We have to always question our motives, and it is one of the most humbling things, I believe. When you get to travel and you get to be in places where people are content, when people are not constantly looking over their shoulder at who's wearing what and who's driving what and how do I become like them. And I believe every time I visit Ghana, I am reminded of the beauty of simplicity and the beauty of contentment and seeing a place where people are just genuinely so friendly, happy, content, loving, and people are not concerned with all the little luxuries that we concern ourselves with. That really brings me back down to earth, and it reminds me of what really is important. What is important are the people in your lives, the love that they show you, having your basic needs met, your relationship with God, and your hope for the dreams and the visions and the plans that you have in your life that will make your life and other people's lives more beautiful. All of the extra little things, if you have those things in place, everything else works itself out. And it's important for us to bring ourselves back down to earth and focus on the things that matter. Don't allow your marriage to get ruined because your eyes are always set on having the next best thing. And this goes in reverse too. If you have a husband who actually wants to do something, like he wants to expand the family by moving somewhere, he wants to go back to school and all of that, and you're so worried about your own comfort, it's the same issue. If you're not willing to honor his dreams and his goals as a leader in the family, this is going to cause contention in your marriage. He's going to feel like you're putting your comforts over him, over what he feels is right for the family, over what he feels is going to make the family better. The man is the one that really has that burden, that responsibility of legacy and creating this dynasty, creating this long-lasting family heritage. He's the one who's thinking about, what am I going to do to make sure that this family line goes on with success? And those things are heavy. So when he has plans and he has things that he wants you to do, instead of thinking about how you're going to miss your condo by the lake, think about what he wants for the long term, for the longevity of your family, and accept that. Because when you make a man number one, you're also making his work, his plans, and his goals number one. That's part of making him number one. Another area that women tend to put number one over their husbands are their careers, their talents, and their activities. Now, if you're a successful career woman, keep your priorities straight and let your husband know by words and actions that he is still number one. When I hear about women struggling with femininity, this is the area that gets most women, is their careers. This is the area that gets them because some women are so high pressed on having these high power jobs. And these high power jobs, they require you to be on the clock day and night. They require you to put your job as what's the most important thing in your life. Not children, not a husband, the job. The job is your husband. And some women absolutely love it. They love the thrill, they love the power, they love the job, they love the everything that comes with it. But when they get home, they have a very difficult time going into the position of submission, going into the position of honoring their husband, going into the position of giving their husband the time that they need. Femininity really lacks when women are caught up in their careers or their talents or activities. It's not only just your career. It could be something you love to do. You're part of the tennis club. You're part of the choir. You're directing the children's ministry. You're so involved in this job that you have that you're not able to take it off and be a servant in your home to your family and to your husband. You have to always be willing to sacrifice something in your career for his sake. If it's necessary, even if you're not pursuing a career or you just work outside of your home, the demands on your time and energy to hold your job can cause your husband to feel less important. Take special care to assure him that your job is not more important than his welfare and his happiness. So if you pursue other interests or other talents, make sure that your husband senses and knows that this enthusiasm does not overshadow him. Okay, because then he may start to resent it. And that's when you have, you know, people really resenting their wives working and finding other hobbies and interests because they know they're going to be replaced. And it's not about him being insecure or him wanting to own your time and own everything about you. But sometimes they do get replaced, and there is a time and an allowance that should be made for your husband. And a lot of times we throw that out because we're like, eh, you know, he understands. This is only for a little bit. It's not that important. I'll give him a little bit of time here and there because that excitement isn't there the way it is for whatever you're dealing with. Or maybe whatever need this career or hobby of yours is fulfilling in your life is much more satisfying to you than your relationship with your husband. So it takes priority in your thoughts and in your energy. Then in the book, she talks about when a man comes home. When a man comes home, this is your opportunity to show your femininity. This is your opportunity to just lay it on him. This is your opportunity to make him feel like a king. That moment when your man comes home, that is the moment where you can really show up and set the tone for the rest of the evening, set the tone for the family. And this is a little bit more difficult if your husband works from home. This is actually really hard if he works from home. But when he does not work from home, you do have an advantage of having a little rush, a little adrenaline rush of getting everything prepared. And that moment when he walks in the door, just having your Hollywood moment where the spotlight is on you, when you get to just showcase your love and your femininity towards him. A special time to prove to a man that he's number one in your life is when he comes home from work. Make it a pleasant time for him. Have all the housework out of the way and things as quiet as possible. Be sure the washing machine, dryer, or vacuum cleaner is not running. If you have been sewing, put it away out of sight. Be attractively groomed and greet him with a smile. You might think this is no big deal, but listen, my love. Greeting him with a smile will do wonders. Just him seeing a smile on your face. Femininity is about loving and enjoying your life, actually being happy and grateful for everything. You having a smile on your face will make all the difference. Don't let the children rush to him with their problems. See that they wait until later, after he's gained his composure. Such a greeting will make an amazing difference in his life. It reduces strain and brings peace and rest. Your thoughtful consideration for his welfare will also give him the impression that he is number one. Now the question comes up as to, should he make you number one? What about me? What about me? Well, what she says is his number one responsibility is to provide a living. His work and his life away from home may be so demanding that it must take priority over everything else if he's to succeed. This often means that he must neglect his family. In reality, he is putting you first. He's working for you and for your children. Try to interpret his dedication to his work in that way. I know this is tough because we want to, you know, believe that it shouldn't matter. He should be able to do all of that stuff and still make you number one and still put you first. And in reality, yes, yes. But the nature of having the weight of sustaining and caring for a family is so heavy that sometimes men struggle with balancing. He's working out a problem. He's solving problems in his mind at home. He is trying to manage anxiety and stress and worry over certain things that you're not aware of. So he may not even realize he's not making you number one. He may not realize that he's not seeing certain things or missing out on certain things. It would be beautiful for him to be more emotionally present and aware. But the truth is, that's just not usually the case. And if he is a very hardworking man, that may consume him. And his anxiety over not being able to provide for the family sometimes outweighs his desire to be warm and be there and just kind of give you all the attention and love every single day, all the time. He will do it in moments where he comes back down to earth, but to expect it all the time will leave you feeling empty. So you have to have other things that fulfill you, and you have to, like she said, interpret his hard work for his love for you to ensure that you're always provided for. And if he is a man who truly does value family, he will try his best to make the recitals, to make the soccer games, to be there for you when you need it. He will try his best. But if he is a very high-powered man running businesses, or he has a very demanding job, if you examine people even in history who were very noble public servants, they usually had wives that really did have to take a back seat to those things that they were doing because they knew that this is this man's life calling, it's his passion, he's a traveling evangelist, he does crusades, he does this and this. And yes, would I love to be put first? Would I love to be number one in all his thoughts and his dreams and his actions? Of course. But as his helper, what he needs right now is for me to just be there, for me to make him warm meals to soothe his body, for me to give him kind words of affirmations, for me to pray for him, for me to be there to give him my body in a sexual way, for him to be able to experience that, for me to be understanding and listen to his problems. And yes, I do expect a return on those things because I matter to him. But am I expecting it tit for tat? No, because we have different roles and different assignments, and God gave us each other for different reasons. And it's not always going to be as fair as you would want it to be. But if you continue to put these things into prayer and seek God about these things and do your part in just being the feminine, loving, open, fun, happy wife, you will see your husband in those small moments he has shifting his attention towards you. When you fail to make your husband number one, when you put your children first, homemaking first, career, or other interests first, your husband will feel a deficiency. This is often the very reason a man is driven to another woman. As I've said before, men are seldom driven to a mistress because of sex passions. It is usually her ability to fill an emotional need, to make him feel appreciated and important. Please share this podcast with anyone that you think could benefit from this information. If you post it on your socials, please tag me at the Dr. Daff Show or at Dr. Michelle Daff. I hope that this information was helpful to you in just opening your eyes and seeing your husband as one who should take number one in your life and realizing that there is a beautiful reward that comes from that. God placed you with him as his helper, and that's your first assignment based on the order of the Lord. And as hard as it can be sometimes, especially when it comes to the children, just keeping it in mind and trying to work on it little by little. When your husband is telling you something and your child is playing and you can see your child from the side of your eye, but you really want to just say something, or your child asks a question and you really want to answer the question, but your husband's talking, learning to just focus on your husband talking, keeping your child in sight, and waiting till he's done and then answering your child's question. Learning how to say, okay, it is his nap time, but maybe he can sleep in the stroller while we walk to the restaurant, instead of saying, no, I can't go to lunch because it's his nap time. Learning how to just make those adjustments little by little and trusting God to show you ways that you can do that can truly bless your marriage. It's not an easy thing. It is absolutely not easy at all. But when you make these small, tiny adjustments, especially if you're really not making your husband first, he will notice, he will appreciate it, you will feel more confident in your marriage, you will feel and know that you are doing your role as a wife, which helps you with your confidence, and overall, you'll build a more beautiful, happy home for your family. Thank you so much for your time and listening to this message. I hope it blessed you, and until next time, remember that in all things you do, make a feminine impression. Bye-bye.